Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Another service from our home to your home. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. We're looking forward to this opportunity to share some spiritual thoughts with you, and we're going to start off with Pamela.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm the mission statement and the foundation statement. Let's say the mission statement first. Together, the mission of the Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for Sunday, June 28th. The key word is will, and the affirmation is, spiritual understanding guides my will. Each day I use my will to make decisions big and small that affect the quality and direction of my life. Through the use of my human will, I may make choices out of fear or a sense of lack, or I may be driven by my desire for convenience, comfort, or the pleasures of the moment. The use of my spiritual will, however, directs my choices toward a greater awareness of my divine nature. As I grow spiritually, I use my will to shine my Christ light even more brightly. I grow in willingness to co-create with God as I release my willfulness to do everything on my own. As I live more intentionally from my divinity, the light of spiritual understanding dawns within me and directs my will. And the scripture is Joshua 1:9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you, hon. So, Pam says, I always start out with so, and it's sort of like, because it's, you know, like a continuation of, you know, what we've been talking about before. So, today we're going to, you know, last week we talked about this idea of, you know, those who are sort of spiritually immature are fed milk, and those who are spiritually mature are fed meat. And I just want to warn you, there's going to be a lot of meat being fed in this particular talk today. So we got a lot of slides that we're doing because some of these ideas, it's better if you can actually read them while you're hearing them, you know, so you can get them sort of more into your thought process. But, you know, we're continuing with this idea of expanding consciousness through prayer. And we had this subtitle that we used last week, we introduced, which we're going to sort of continue that thought, is that prayer is the way to every way. And last week we spoke about, you know, petitioning prayer, which is asking God for something and then kind of hoping, you know, and waiting to receive it. That's sort of the nature of petitioning prayer. And the manner in which petitioning prayer is done typically demonstrates the perception of believing that you and God, or that you're separate from God, because there's a tendency to ask as if there's something outside of you that's going to answer this prayer for you. So we're going to look deeply into, you know, the dynamics of that and what the next step in prayer, you know, can be for all of us. So the idea of knowing prayer, however, is asking, but at the same time knowing it has already been given, because you know that you are one with the source, all right? So a possible pictorial analogy of petitioning prayer that could be standing, you know, think about the idea, you're standing on the beach, you know, at the edge of the water. It's 120 degrees, okay, and you're asking the ocean to come and cool you down, all right? So the ocean responds by sending a gentle wave to splash cool water over you, and you're satisfied that your request has been answered. But eventually, you'll get hot and uncomfortable again, and you'll turn to the ocean again, asking it to cool you down, all right? This is the nature of petitioning prayer. It is often based on a perception that you are separate from God and need God to come and answer your prayer. But eventually, you will have, you know, another need causing you to go to the source, consciously or unconsciously, believing that you are separate from that source and asking it again to satisfy the need that you have. So petitioning prayer works, but it can be exhausting, you know, having to you always wondering when and if, you know, your request is going to be answered. Okay? So the committed practice of maintaining a mental state of prayer, meditation, and contemplation will eventually lead to an elevation of your consciousness. So again, we talked about it a little bit last week. The more time you spend at this, the more time, the more, this word I'm looking for, submerged into prayer you become. It's almost like with the ocean example. If you stepped out into the ocean, let's say up to your knees, you now are more in connection with the ocean than you were when you were standing on the edge. And if you move out further up to your waist, now you're even in more connection up to your chest, even more connection and so forth. That's sort of the idea of this constant involvement in prayer, is that you're merging yourself more and more into the source that you were thinking was outside of you, but you're now becoming aware that you're really part of it. So this concept, again, it'll cause you to elevate your consciousness the more time you spend at it. Which leads to enlightenment, all right? That's what we're looking for. So this inspires the understanding in the one praying that true prayer requires walking into the ocean and becoming one with it, not waiting and hoping for the ocean to come to him or her, but going boldly and courageously and faithfully into the source itself, all right? Now that you're consciously in the source, you realize that the source knows what you need even before you ask. So that's sort of what Jesus was talking about when he says, you know, the Father knows what you want even before you ask. But if you're caught up in the idea of petitioning prayer, you don't realize that, okay? And we're going to talk about this idea of prayer and answer and really how long it takes to happen. So also in last week's lesson, we were examining prayer from the perspective of Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 3:13. And let me bring that slide up. Okay, so he said, and brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritually evolved people, but as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for even now you are still not able to receive solid food. For when there is turmoil and division among you, you are not behaving as people who can receive the deeper truths. Okay, so according to the Vine's Expository Dictionary of the Old and New Testament, the word milk in this scripture means the basic elemental teachings of Christianity first learned by new believers. And the word meat in this scripture means the deeper, more complex teachings of God's word that only more advanced followers can understand. Okay? So according to the Revealing Word, God's word is the channel by which God reveals God's self in some measure to each to all of us, okay? And actually to each one of us in some measure, but, you know, to the ones who are sort of moved more along in terms of having a deeper conscious understanding of spirit, they get that message from God to an even greater degree, okay? So the more evolved you are into higher levels of consciousness when it comes to spirituality, the greater the information it is that you receive directly from spirit. Now, as Paul said in Hebrews 5:14, the spiritual life is gained by those who are spiritually mature, who have trained themselves and practiced to recognize the difference between love and fear, and then choose love. Okay, now to repeat the words of Martin Luther King from last week's lesson, he said, I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear. Now he is one, Martin Luther King, who trained himself and practiced until he could recognize the difference between love and fear and then courageously choose love. So the key in that is that he practiced, all right? He worked at it until he got to a point where he understood the power of love over fear. So it's not just something you just all of a sudden decide, this is what I'm going to do, okay? Because you remember, we're going to talk about this this pattern that we have in our minds, that we have to break that pattern in order to be able to do things that are outside of the way we normally do them. Right? Now, let's look at what the revealing word says about love. It says, in the revealing word, love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Whoever is calling on the Holy Spirit for healing is calling on divine love. And we read in Romans 13:10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay, so how do we move into this state of consciousness that binds together the whole human family? You know, that's sort of what so many of us are trying to do now in this new, this dynamic that's going on now of awakening is what I like to call it. And we're trying to figure out how do we make that movement, you know, to bind the whole human family together in love. So let's look at the question. When we're praying, who is asking what of whom? And let me say that again. When we are praying, who is asking what of whom, right? The person who is spiritually immature, who still prays a petitioning prayer, is asking God to fulfill some need, whereas the more advanced, more spiritually mature, true student realizes that in prayer, it is God who is asking something of us, okay? Now, let's go and look at this. I'm going to look at another slide here. It says, in the book, Prayer, A Radical Approach to Life, Matthew Fox says, there is ample evidence in the Gospels to suggest that it is not we who ask for God's action in prayer, but it is God who waits for us to become what he already, what we already are, to act with a new spirit and a new vision, okay? So when you feel the urge to close your eyes and pray, asking God to solve your problem, heal you physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, heal that pain or some other part of your life, that urge, and listen carefully, that urge to pray is actually God's desire for you to become still so that God can reconstruct your thinking to realize that you are already in possession of the divine potential to manifest what you're praying for. So did you get that? So, you know, something you says, I need to pray about this. That desire to pray, where you actually try, you know, work to get enter into prayer, is that you're responding to God's desire for you to come into prayer, but not to ask for anything, to just to be still, so that God can help you to make that connection that will help you to realize you already have this power within you. So as we spoke about last week, we use the word recontextualize. Pam said I didn't quite say that word right. Recontextualize, right? Means to restructure the perceptions in your mind into a new and different context. So as Matthew Fox said, the purpose of prayer is to give you a new spirit and a new vision, okay? So our interpretation of the experiences in our lives coupled with our belief that someone or, you know, something, some condition is to blame for our distress causes us to pray using words to describe the condition and its causes as something that God needs to fix. When in essence, we already have within us the spiritual tools to adjust ourselves to become channels through which healing can happen. Okay, so let me just say again, the desire to pray, you're receiving that desire, and the word desire means of God. So you're receiving that desire to pray because God is urging you to become still so God can help you to understand the inspiration and the answers that are already within you. Okay, so let me go to a slide again. It says, so the psalmist, you know, prayed, be still and know that I am God. Okay. We were, you know, we're not using that. We weren't being taught a prayer to pray to God. Be still and know is God's prayer to us that in the face of adversity, which is the false context of thoughts within us, God is asking us to be still and know that God is present and that what we are asking for in prayer already exists within us, waiting to be discovered. Be still and know that I am God is asking us to stop being fearful so that we can realize that our request is answered in the exact same moment that it is prayed. Okay, so Dr. Carl Jung's, you know, to explain this idea of the prayers answered in the exact same moment in which it is prayed, Dr. Carl Jung's theory of synchronicity includes a reality supported by, it's supported by other scientists, okay? And he says, a question cannot be asked unless there is already the potential of the answer, all right? The reason for this is that the question and the answer are both created out of the same paradigm and therefore are exactly symmetrical. All right, so I know that needs some more explanation. So let's go to a slide, okay? So it is written in the book Power versus Force, as the investigations in advanced physics has proven, an event here in the universe does not cause an event there in the universe to occur. Instead, both appear at the same time. It says further that the appearance of events happening in sequence, prayer that eventually answered, you know, prayer answered, only happens in our mind, okay? So, thanks, honey. Even the phenomena of unfoldment itself reflects a limited point of view. There is no enfolded and unfolded universe, only becoming aware, a becoming awareness. Our perception of events happening in time is analogous to a traveler watching the landscape unfold before him. But to say the landscape is unfolding before the traveler is merely a figment of speech. Nothing is actually unfolding. Nothing is becoming manifest. There is only the progression of awareness. Okay? Now, I know that was a lot, right? That's why I wanted you to see it as a slide. So the idea here is that when you sit to pray or you take that moment to pray, what it's saying is that the answer to the prayer happens simultaneously at the time you're asking, okay? And so when you say, when all of a sudden your prayer is answered, especially in petitioning prayer, we get really excited. Oh, God is so good. God answered my prayer. Well, the key here is that the prayer was answered at the time you answered it. And you say, well, why didn't I see it? Because you had to move into a consciousness where you could be aware that it was unfolding in your life. So a truly advanced prayer, a truly advanced mystic, one who has spent the time in practice and prayer, knows in the moment that he or she prays, they are aware in that moment that the answer to the prayer has already manifested. Okay, and so they know that it'll in time, whether it's right in that moment or in a few moments beyond that or whatever time it takes, they know that they're going to become aware of the answer. Okay. So it's the same in prayer. The answer to your prayer does not need time to be created. In reality, there's no time involved between prayer and answer. And the instant you make a request in prayer, the answer to the request is created out of the same paradigm, the same system of observations that caused you to make the request in the first place. Okay. So, and that's why I said I know this is going to be a little bit heavy today, but fortunately you can watch, if you're interested, you can watch this over to try to grasp what, you know, what's going on here. So once you feel the urge to ask in prayer, to continue to ask, and this is the same thing over and over again is to acknowledge that you're not listening. You're not understanding that your urge to ask in the first place is actually God's desire for you to be still and hear God's prayer for you. And God's prayer for you is that you prepare your mind and your heart to become receptive to receiving the answer, the guidance, the healing that you are seeking. Because the answer was created simultaneously with your request. That's a powerful idea just to mull over in your mind, even if you're not getting it in this moment. Because you remember, I had spent time with this because I had to put this together. I spent days, you know, thinking about this idea. That in the same moment you ask, because you ask, the answer has to become available at the same time, okay? Whether or not you can see that it's available is a whole nother story. It's like you're saying, the analogy was, you know, you're driving down the road and you're looking at this beautiful landscape unfolding before you, but it's not really unfolding. It's just as you keep moving forward, you're becoming more aware of the glory that was already there, all right? And that's the same idea. So as Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows what you need even before you ask. And he explained how this is possible when he said, pray like this. All right, and let me just cut to that. This is how he said. Now, I know we've heard a little bit this, and this is a little bit of a paraphrase. Our Father, who is in all and through all, wholeness is thy nature. Thy divine beloved presence comes to me. Thy will is done within me when I bring my mind into alignment with thee. Okay, so that's kind of a paraphrase of what Jesus was telling us when he was saying pray in this manner. All right, so probably the greatest drawback to our understanding the advanced prayer process is we believe that prayer is something we must say, using words we believe will have the greatest impact on God. You know, and you can hear it. We do it. I mean, I'm saying don't pray, but I'm just saying that's not the essence of prayer, is the words. The secret to effective prayer has nothing to do with words. Prayer is not about words. It is about the state of consciousness that one strives to live from continuously. And we read in a revealing word, let me put this up again, it says, do not supplicate or beg God to give you what you need. Instead, get still and think about the inexhaustible resources of infinite mind and its presence in all of its fullness and its constant readiness to manifest itself for you when its laws are complied with. All right, that's the key. It's getting ourselves to the point where we can comply with the laws of spirit. So it's recorded in Luke 21:36 that Jesus taught us, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the purpose of the axiom, pray always, is to help us escape the mental pattern recognition system that has us locked into a certain way of being and reacting in the world. And that's what a lot of the discussion is going on now in terms of the racial issues, is that all of us are locked into a mental recognition system that has us looking at the world in a certain way. And now we're being asked to, you know, said in order to come together, we've got to break that bond that it has over us, all right? So as we explored last week, our reactions to the events and circumstances in our lives is a result of our patterns of data that we have arranged in our consciousness. So when Jesus said, pray always, he was giving us the key to using prayer to replace the context of our pattern recognition system with God as the new context of our mind and heart. So as it is written in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has passed away. Behold, a new life has come. Okay? So that's the key of what we're trying to get to and breaking this pattern recognition system. That's the old self that we're trying to get rid of, that we're trying to move out of. You know, how do I move out of that old self? And it's through the constant work with prayer and meditation and contemplation. So being mindful of the divine causes us to recognize God within us as our indwelling source of life, intelligence, love, and power. Think of Jesus' concept, pray always, as contemplation and deep reflective thought of the power and presence of God within you. So pray always. It's not about saying words. It's always contemplating the power of spirit within you. As we say in a unit of light, the power within you that's far greater than anything that exists outside of you. Okay? So the word context means the setting in which something occurs. So in the book Prayer, A Radical Response to Life of Matthew Fox defines spiritual context as the real concern of prayer. It is creating a mental matrix in which we live and breathe and have our being. All right. So as we have said many times before, our mind is the place where everything, every experience we have occurs. Okay. As you hear me talk about in marketing, marketing knows that the mind is the thing that they must affect, because that's where, you know, you're eating something, you say, ooh, this is good. Well, it's good because you are envisioning that in your mind. So that our mind is where everything occurs. And yes, there is a physical counterpart, but our mind is where the interpretation happens. So one who is dedicated to following Jesus' spiritual guidance of prayer, praying without ceasing, is equally dedicated to maintaining a mental context that is more suited to receiving the love and guidance of spirit than it is to reacting to what's occurring in the world. And it's not that we do not hear or know what is happening in the world. It is more that while experiencing what is happening in the world, we remain committed to praying without ceasing so that our mind remains continuously aware of God's guidance and God's inspiration. So praying without ceasing is a method we can use to become more consciously aware of the context of our mind. And Jesus' words in Luke 21:36 are, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that may come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." All right. So the things we, you know, want to escape are the negative, fearful reactions to the experiences in our lives that would tear down our connection to the Lord of our being. I want you to really kind of grasp what I just said. You want to escape those negative dynamics in terms of our reaction to life that would tear down our connection to the Lord of our being. All right. We cannot always prevent what takes place in the world, but we can choose to operate from a level of consciousness that does not react from fear and anger. And again, Dr. King affirmed, "I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear." And Jesus told us we will have to watch. And this is a full-time job. This idea of watching our mind, we all know that's a full-time job of watching our thoughts, watching our feelings, watching our emotions, and being, you know, being mindful of whether or not where our mind and heart and spirit is going is tearing down or keeping us connected to the Lord of our being. But it's the way of the great masters, and it's the way of the universe. Okay? This work that we're talking about is the way of the great masters, the way of the universe. In John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So we also must keep working to bring our mind and our heart and our thoughts and our words and actions into alignment with Spirit so that we will always know the glory of God in our lives. And I think that's enough for one day. And so it is. Amen. Okay. Now we have meditation with Pamela.
Now find that quiet spot where you are and become calm and still. You may close your eyes if you wish to. And let us prepare to commune with Spirit about what is on our hearts and minds today and many days to come. Make sure you are seated comfortably for these next few moments. As your body relaxes and you're breathing rhythmic, you feel you are breathing a little more deeply and fully. The most important part of the day is when we are in communion with the divine. So take a deep breath in with me and exhale. Breathe in and out. We now prepare ourselves to enter the secret place of the Most High and to understand and realize the letting go of emotional, mental, and physical baggage that does not support us any longer. Slowly envision these feelings and items melting away from you. Take another deep breath and feel yourself going deeper into the silence. And listen to a prayer for the wounded heart of humanity. This prayer is from Reverend Patricia Bass, Interim CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministries. Please take these words as your own. I call upon God's love in this important moment, knowing that divine love is the greatest power in the universe. I pray for the wounded heart of humanity as I grieve, rage, cry, and despair over injustice and inequity. May divine love enfold and comfort everyone who is hurting. May divine wisdom guide each person and institution in taking inspired action to ensure that all are celebrated for their inherent goodness as a part of God's creation. May I remain resolute in walking the course of human rights and social justice for all. And now, without the sound of my voice, let's take a few more moments in the silence based on what you just heard and what you may be feeling, and be with it for a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for hearing my prayer and at the same time answering it. We are grateful for all our blessings. We are grateful for the Unity Center of Light. We are grateful for our Unity family. And now, when you feel ready, come back to your surroundings and know that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. That was wonderful. So, boys, it was wonderful to do this service for you, all you folks out there, and the folks who are watching on YouTube, and those who are watching in Zoom. Let me just say before it slips my mind that if you have not joined us in a Zoom session Sunday morning, you can do that. You can go right from here. You'll be in the Zoom session. You'll watch it, and you get a chance to hear music and be with all your Unity friends. So for you YouTubers, if you haven't tried that, please join us.
I like that word, YouTubers.
YouTubers, yeah. So as we always do, let me just bring this up. We're going to do our offering blessing together. We send our heartfelt thanks out for the continuous donations that you keep sending to the Unity Center of Light. If you're sort of new to us, you can do that by sending it to going to our website, unitycenteroflight.org, and clicking on the donate button. You could do it through PayPal. You can do it through the new Tithely, Tithely.ly. App that you also can do it by, and you can just send a check to the church. I don't know if I just said that already, but we truly appreciate that during these challenging times. And just to let you know that this could be going on for a good while. There are churches that have been experimenting with it, but the things you have to do in order to come to church doesn't make it like the church you remembered, in terms of masks and sitting apart and can't hug and almost can't talk to each other. No music. So many things that would make it different to try to struggle to do it now. So we're going to continue to do the best we can to bring it to you through this this vehicle. So with that, let's say our offering blessing together. And then right behind that, we're going to do our bless the week. So together.
Bless the path.
Bless the path. Thank you. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now we're going to say our Bless the Path We Walk this week with passion, zeal,
and gusto.
Okay. So together, I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord,
knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. So let me just for a minute. So we're going to do our what do you call it? Prayer for protection, together, mm-hmm. To end our service. So let me just bring that up and let's do that together. The light of God surrounds us.
The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, all you wonderful folks, thank you so much for being with us today. And we will either see you in the Zoom session or we will see you next week. Have a great week.
You too. Have a great week.